is all your prayers this morning. I don't like to get up and qualify the burden that the Lord puts on my heart. I will say that in the flesh, sometimes the question that comes to me in times like this, so I don't want anybody to leave this afternoon saying that wasn't a very spiritual message. What's in the Bible is given to us for our edification. And might take just a little change of pace. A couple of years ago, the Lord gave me this burden for God's people. I'd like to address the subject this morning that it's the number one marriage problem. It's the number one problem that is in marriages. Someone know what that is? It's money. That's right, I heard it somewhere. I know that it's a subject that sometimes, because of the nature of our services and the nature of our meetings, we don't always maybe have ample opportunity and discuss subjects as much like this, but it is given, it is taught in the Scripture. And so I would like to address the subject of financial stewardship this morning. Trust it will be a blessing, and I also trust that for the young people here that maybe I can save you getting into some snares that the devil has laid. Because, folks, how we handle our money does affect us spiritually. It affects you get under financial stress, and it affects your outlook on life. And there are some things that the Scripture teaches us to observe that, by the help of the Lord, we'd like to consider. And because we are constrained in time, we're taking one service to cover a big subject this morning. We're going to move fairly quickly through a number of subjects that probably later on your own time or in another forum that we could spend more time dealing adequately with each subject. I'd like to begin over in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, in the 10th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the 10th verse. He said here, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now the Scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now folks, money is a necessary commodity, isn't it? And anybody that says, "Well, I don't need finances, money doesn't matter to me," I dare say when you don't have any of it, you're going to start to realize how important it is. What the problem is with many people, what the Scripture Paul was warning Timothy about, was coveting after it. Making that the focus of your life. Now folks, on balance, we need money, don't we? And the other night I preached about, I was satisfied. I've met the deepest need that I have in my soul is satisfied. But that doesn't mean there aren't other surface needs that we have in life. And money is one of those. Well, then, the Bible addresses a lot of those needs. But what we want to be aware of is if we ever make money the focus of our life, and the ambition of and all of our goals are centered around material things, it means that somewhere we have left God out of it. Amen. Because the Scripture says over in Matthew 6, He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now folks, that does not mean, some would say, "Well, look how the Lord clothes the birds and they're provided for." Folks, if you get up Monday morning and you look at your wife and say, "Honey," I'm talking to the husbands now, "I think I'm just going to stay home from work today. And the Lord promised that He was going to take care of me. And so in faith in God, I'm going to exercise my faith now, and I think I'm just going to stay home for a few weeks, and the Lord will take care of me." You're going to find yourself in trouble, not only with your boss at work, you're going to find yourself in trouble with God. What the Scripture teaches is to put God first in your life. But in putting God first, God has given us some instruction in His Word of how to handle these material things in life. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the 2nd verse. The Scripture says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, stewardship covers a lot of ground, and specifically, he was speaking about being stewards of the mystery of God here. But if you study the Scripture, you will find that financial stewardship and taking care of everything that God has entrusted us with is important. That means from our health, it means to our money, it means to our the relationships we heard about the other day that we have with people. God has entrusted us with some things. And I dare say there are a lot of people in trouble with God this morning because they haven't been faithful stewards in what God has provided and give them in their trust. God has entrusted us with something. Now, we live in a religious world that is promoting a philosophy that it's time for God's people to be financially successful. You heard that promoted in the world today? And people are using financial success to say, if you will give your heart to God, God will bless you financially. Folks, you can give your heart to God and you may struggle financially sometimes. And the Lord may bless you financially. But whether you have a lot of money or whether you don't, what the Bible still teaches is that we be good stewards of it. We do not measure spirituality by the amount of money someone has. Now the world looks on and say, well, if you're poor, then God's just not blessing you a lot. I take exception to that. But I also take exception, and I've heard people say this too. They look at someone that has a lot of money, and maybe you might consider them wealthy. Well, rich people can't be saved. There's something wrong because they have a lot of money. And they almost despiritualize people that have a lot of money. The amount of money one has is not a measure of spirituality. Where I will say there is a measure of spirituality, folks, is if we're good stewards. You see someone that's slothful with their finances, and I will say it gets down, there's some spiritual problems because the Lord has given us a better way. Amen. So I'd like to consider a few of those ways. Now over in Romans 12, I'm just going to give the reference in the 11th verse. It says not to be slothful in business. Folks, saints of God, of anybody else, ought to be a people that have their finances in order. This is one of the places there are many reproaches on the name of Christ because people, in the way that they do their business, they are less than forthcoming. They cut corners in the business deals they make. And then people say, you go to what church? And I just want you to know, I don't know anything about y'all in this area when it comes to finances, all right? So I want to be explicit with that now. But I have found that this is something that has been a hindrance to the work of God in some areas because brother so-and-so goes to church there and we know how he does business. And he's slothful and he's not forthright and he cuts corners and it's at our expense. And I don't want to go to church. I'm not even interested in what you have to offer. You see where it's important, folks, when it comes to our testimony of salvation to be a light to the world. It has a lot to do with finances because we have a lot of dealings with people out in the world on this subject. You have money problems. It's difficult to have peace of mind, folks. Individually. And it bleeds, and that's why they say we can talk about marriage problems. But folks, the statistics do say that money management is the number one problem in homes. The number one cause of divorce is not unfaithfulness. Number one cause of divorce is money. We're going to deal with that just a little bit. 1 Timothy in the 5th chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 8. He said, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Now folks, this God was speaking, the Scripture is speaking specifically to the men, to husbands, to fathers. It is the role and the God-given responsibility for fathers and husbands to provide for their household. And God did not design it any other way. When you see mom, and I know there are some exceptions, if there is not a dad in a home, or if there is a disability, there are reasons that there are exceptions to this. But the way that God ordained it was for the husband, for the father, to be the provider for his home. And the Scripture talks about as well, folks, I believe this morning there is a responsibility that the young men need to take to provide for their homes and the welfare of their family. The mentality of the world is, I'll pay half the bills and my wife pays half the bills. We'll split this thing equally. Folks, I will say my wife has more than a full-time job in running a home, in being a mother, in being a wife, and it's not an inferior position. It's a place of where the blessings of God will rest. Amen. And there have been times that my wife, when we were expecting one of the children, for example, and she wasn't able to fulfill all her function, I played mom for a while. I was so thankful when she was back on her feet. I was so glad to go back to my job and she could go back to hers. Brethren, respect the place that your wife holds in the home. Never belittle her because, brethren, I want to say this. You go out and work and you bring home the paycheck and it has your name on it. You know whose money that is? Your wife, it ought to say, and have your wife's name right behind it. There are too many men that say, okay, I'll provide for my home, but I'm going to be in control of everything, and any little thing my wife wants, she's going to have to come crawling to me. Yeah. Folks, there are men that operate that way with their wives. Brethren, respect the place that your wife fills. Respect the things that she does in the home. And when just because you're filling a different function, and you literally bring the money home, that money is for the household. And the way that God intended it was for a man and a woman to be together, a companionship, working together in financial things as in every other area of our life. Amen. Joint paychecks. Now, brethren, I'll just let me ask, how you doing? I don't even want to hear your answers. But folks, we need to consider that this causes a lot of problems in homes. This is my money. I heard a man, we had a neighbor that would fly off the handle and he would act like a child sometimes. He was a grown man, he was an older man. And I remember one time my window was open and I heard him say and tell his wife, he said, this is mine. He said, I bought that with my money and that's mine. Brothers and sisters, you will join together in holy matrimony and you two become one flesh. That's not just talking about something physically. It's talking about an intimate spiritual relationship that now we are in this thing together. When you start separating bank accounts and this is mine and that's yours, folks, you're going to have marriage problems. I'll just tell you. You start to divide and say this is yours and mine, there is already a problem. In marriage, it is to be working together. Working together. Joint decisions. And folks, it takes communication. Communication about financial matters is very important. Whether there's a lot to talk about or whether there's little to talk about. It's important that this be something that husbands and wives talk about and communicate about and make joint decisions. So then it's not just me saying, well, I'm the head of the home and this is what I'm going to do. And there are needs that my wife has at home. Brings up another point. The Scripture teaches, and to save time we won't read it over in Ephesians 5, it teaches the husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And gave himself for it. Now brethren, we have a big responsibility. As God blesses in whatever we have financially, if I love my wife like Christ loved the church, I'm going to see that her needs are met before my own. Isn't that scriptural? There are too many men that are living in the past as children. And you've heard the expression, the toys just get a little bit bigger. I want to say there is no problem with having a boat. I would like to have one someday if I was ever blessed to have one. There's no problem with having a boat. But I want you, brethren, to understand something. There are too many wives that have needs at home, and their husband goes out and buys his toys, and buys the things that he wants when his wife needs a little bit more money on the groceries that week. When his wife needs a pair of shoes, and he's out spending money on things that aren't really necessary when his wife has a need. Brethren, we need to consider and respect our wives and love her and sacrifice. No, there is a place that financially, sometimes when things get real lean, most of y'all know what I'm talking about, and you just have enough to meet the bills, if that, and you're looking to the Lord to guide you and direct you. You say, well, honey, things are pretty tight. We don't have money for you to get that. You know, brethren, where we need to cut first? In our own expenditure. Is there anything I can cut out? Is there anything I can do? Because the Lord brought something to me a week or two ago. There are too many men that they go out and they spend money on something. You stop at McDonald's, $5 if you get a value meal. Value? $5. And then you come and it's time for your wife to go buy groceries, and she goes out to spend it. Says, well, honey, how much do you need? Well, X amount. Says, is it possible I probably need a little bit more than that? Say, oh, honey, things are really tight right now. And all she needed was an extra $10. And all of a sudden, to too many men, that $10 is pretty important. We just can't afford it. You're going to have to cut somewhere. When you just went out and stopped and spent $5 or $10 on fishing stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't think this causes marriage stress? Brethren, it starts with us. Amen. Put your wife first. And there is a time that both parties are going to have to make sacrifices. But brethren, don't start making your wife sacrifice. You be the one. You be the head of the home. Amen. You be the one to head the sacrifice. Amen. And it's a lot easier for our wives to realize I need to be careful in my spending as well. And wives, may I speak to you a moment in love? There's nothing wrong with window shopping. Some women, things are kind of tight, we're going to go shopping. I never really knew what that meant a whole lot. I'm thankful, well, it hasn't been an issue with us. But I know that there are people, they like to go out, and there are sisters, they like to go out, and if they see something they like, it doesn't really matter. If the money's available, they'll buy it, and we'll deal with it later. That's a place. You need to make some sacrifices. Honor your husband. Your husband, and honor him for the work that he's doing. He's going out trying to provide for you. Trying to provide for the children. Trying to make a living. And it's hard, especially young couples getting started. It's hard sometimes to meet the bills. And that means there needs to be a real carefulness. And you sisters in love, I say be careful that you honor your husband and respect that he's trying to provide for you, and don't make it any harder on him than it needs to be. But you be there to be mutually supportive. That's what this comes down to. This comes down to love and respect, folks, but it carries into our finances, like all these other issues. If you don't talk about money, and it's not something you just talk about all the time, but if you do not communicate with your spouse about financial things, it is easy for there to grow up some little resentments in questions. Well, I really don't understand why he's doing that or why she's doing that. And if you don't address those issues can start taking on a life of their own. Amen. And pretty soon you'll find that the enemy has used those finances to drive a wedge in your home. Pretty soon how you deal with the children, you see you're a little bit at odds. And you have other needs that you need to communicate about, but there's just a wall between because you weren't dealing with your finances like you should have. I want to say here, I just want to read the scripture because this is not something that a group of ministers got together and decided somewhere. So I want to read it to you from the scripture. Titus in the 2nd chapter in the 5th verse. Teaching, previous verses, the aged women to teach the younger women. You know, the greatest teaching is done by example. Some say, well, Brother Michael, why are you talking about it? It says for the aged women to do it. I can't live an example for the younger sisters. I can tell them what the Bible says, but it takes the aged sisters among us to teach them by example how to relate with their husband. And it says here for them, to fourth verse, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Folks, there's a lot of weight. It says that the word of God be not blasphemed. We are living in a society that is geared to a two-person income in the home. That's a society that we're living in. But I want to say I have found personally and by observation of many of you all here today and many others that God blesses. God blesses the home that fulfills the roles that God has given. The Scripture still teaches that the place of a mother and a wife is to be a keeper at home. And that's not very popular anymore. Folks, it is not an inferior position. It is a role that God has ordained, and this is where the fullness of God's blessings are. Sisters, I know sometimes that you may think, well, I wish I could go out and be fulfilled somewhere else. But I want to encourage you, sisters, to find that level of fulfillment in that place in your life in doing what the Word of God teaches, in giving of yourself to your children and to your husband. It says to be keepers at home. God will bless, and I have found that God will multiply the loaves and the fishes. I have found, folks, and if you sit there and think, Brother Michael, you haven't known any rough times like I have, I beg to differ with you. And go talk to my wife. I want to tell you, God multiplies the loaves and the fishes when you do it God's way. When you follow, when you humble your heart and you are putting your trust in Him and doing it how the Lord has taught and led you to do, the Lord will meet your needs. That's why He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In His righteousness, because I'll meet you, I'll take care of you, I'll provide for you. There is much fulfillment and many blessings to see homes today that are still doing it the Bible way.
Amen.
Dad and father loving his wife as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her, sacrificing for her, and providing for his household. And a wife and a mother being a keeper at home. My brother, someone asked him quite a number of months ago, I said, well, does your wife work? And he said, yes, she does. She's a homekeeper. She's a homemaker. Well, I didn't mean that. My wife does that too, but she works. My brother said, well, does she do this? Does she do that? Well, no. It is a full-time job to be a homemaker. It's a full-time job, folks. And I want the sisters to know that godly men respect and honor you for that this morning.
Amen.
And God does too. God does too. And I believe the Lord blesses it. Let's turn over to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse 6. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? And then he said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. Now, folks, the Bible teaches, as we said, to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Do you realize it is important to learn to lay up for the future? And I don't know this for a fact, so if it is, someone told me one time that it used to be taught against doing that. I don't know. I would like to think that was never done. But some said it was taught about putting away for the future because you're supposed to put your trust in God. I want to say, just like we get up and go to work, you're still putting your trust in God, but God has given us some responsibility. So God, and my heart goes out to older people today that have lived just for the present and haven't considered the future. Because there's going to come a time, if the Lord tarries and if the Lord gives us life, that we too, all of us, will get to an age where we are not physically able to go out and work. And I don't know what Social Security is going to do. It's pretty rough just getting by on that anyway, I believe. But I want us to understand that we need to consider, as he said, go to the ant and learn a lesson from the ant. There are people, they get a little extra bonus on the paycheck. So we have some blow money. We have some money, we can just go out and do the things that we couldn't afford before without considering. There may come a time, and there will come a time. It's really not a question. There will come a time when things are lean and you would wish you would have put that money, invested it somewhere. That you could go back when things were a little tighter or when you were disabled or you weren't able to work. You had something to go back to. Folks, it is not a lack of faith to look, to save for the future. Don't put your trust there. Don't put your trust there. Don't put your heart there. But it is responsible. And you young men, when you first get a job at even age 16, whatever, you begin to work and begin to make money, you ought to just develop a habit and a pattern of taking some of that and laying it away. Amen. Laying it away for the future. And I know there are things that maybe you'd like to buy, but there is a trap that the enemy has laid here as well. We live in a microwave age. People want things and they want it now and they're not willing to save up for it. Folks, there are many people today that I believe are saved, but they're in spiritual and emotional trouble because they were not a good steward. We need to learn to put away for the future. Put away for the winter time. Put away for retirement. Folks, this is Bible now, isn't it? Consider the ant. There's going to come a winter time in your life. And I'm not going to take a lot of time here. Here's a piece of chocolate. I'd like to demonstrate something to you.
Okay.
We're not going to take a lot of time on this subject, but I want to illustrate a point. When we consider the ant and consider laying away for the future, it's important to start young. If you wait till you're close to that retirement age or that close to that time where you're about to say, I don't have any more energy to work, and all of a sudden you try to start saving for when you can't work and you need some money, it's difficult to do. If at age 25 you invested $100 a month, just $100 a month, faithfully starting at age 25, when you reach age 65, you'd have $470,000 laid away. At a return of about 9%, which the market in investments have done over the last numbers of years. That's conservative figures, folks. And if you put away $250 a month, there's over $1 million. And that's not considering 3% inflation rate. You say, what does this have to do with spiritual living? It has to do with discipline, folks. There are too many people that are living for the moment. That's not spiritual, folks. That's not spiritual. The Bible teaches us to be temperate. It teaches us to be good stewards. Temperance in spending, folks. You know, temperance covers every area of our life. You know, overeating is a behavioral problem. So is overspending. It's a behavioral problem. The Bible teaches temperance, moderation in all things. And we're not talking about putting our heart here. But if you wait till 50, you're 50 years old and start putting away $100, it's $38,000. Look at the difference in those figures if you would just start young. I'm not promoting and advertising going out and trying to get rich. That's not my point here. But we need to understand, and our young people need to understand, that God has entrusted us. Whether it be great or whether it be small, we have a responsibility not just to live for today, but consider the future. Lay away for the future and put away. And if you haven't started, I would encourage all of you to get started. There's never going to be a better time because, folks, there's always going to be things that you could spend your money on. Always things that you could spend your money on. You know what the Scripture also says? Proverbs 13. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. How does a good man do that? A good man leaves an inheritance. A good man has been a good steward. A good man has been faithful to lay aside. Don't misunderstand me. I know there are circumstances that come that children help take care of parents. And folks, that's good and that's blessed. But understand, when it comes because of a lack of stewardship, The better plan would be to lay aside when you're young, that when you get old, there is means to provide for you there. Is that clear? I know this may not be a leaping and jumping lesson here this morning, because that's what it is a lesson. But folks, we need to consider it. Amen. Put it into practice. Yes. And it takes consistency. Yes. It takes faithfulness and consistency. Well, this month I don't have anything. Is there anything you could maybe get by with? Is there something you could... Folks, just consistency monthly in putting something away. Long-term time is on your side when you start young, folks. On these issues. Let's move on a little bit. Another area that, and again, understand my point here this morning. Don't put your trust here. Don't put your heart there. But understand this is good stewardship. And the Bible teaches that. What about Christians paying their bills? Do you know that a saint of God, when you go and buy something, you have given your word that you're going to pay for it? You've given your word. And if you don't pay for it when you said you did, and some may think this is a little black and white, but hear me out. Do you know what that is? That's a lie. You, by tacit consent, when you have your electric turned on in your house, you never said, I never told my electric company that I'd pay them. I just told them to turn on my electric. But by tacit consent, I was saying, I will pay the bill. And if I don't pay the bill, what I am doing is, I'm taking something that's really not mine, then I'm not paying for it. This gets into spiritual issues real fast. And then if I'm up preaching, someone from the electric company comes in and says, oh, there's that Michael Smithville. Yeah, I know what his bills are like. This gets a little close to home, and some say I'm getting a little close to meddling here. But I want to ask you something tonight. The people this morning, the people that you do business with, how do they see how you pay your bills? It is a bad example to pay your bills late, folks. It's not a good steward. It's a bad example. If anybody ought to be a responsible people, it's God's people. Because the principles that are given in the Scripture, they teach us to do this. Responsibility, stewardship, faithfulness. The Scripture says, Psalms 15:4, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I bought something. I made a commitment to someone that I was going to pay for it. But now I don't have the money to do it. You know what a saint of God's position and responsibility is? I'm still going to pay it. And I'm going to have to make sacrifices, and it's going to hurt. But I'm going to do it by the help of God and by being careful, because I gave my word. Yes. Jeremiah, another passage of Scripture. I'll just reference it. Jeremiah chapter 22. Verse 13, it says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness. Yes. Now what he was speaking of is, say, I'm going to build a house. So I call the contractors and I call the workers in, say, build me a house, and they build it and they get done. Say, I don't have the money to pay you, sorry. I've got my house, I've got what I wanted, but I can't pay you now. Folks, this is a reality in some people's lives. If you're going to have someone work for you, you better have the money on hand to pay them. And if you don't, you've got to realize, you better just wait till you do. You want to talk about stress? It bleeds over, folks, into our walk with God very, very quickly. Because all of this, these things of the Spirit, they all blend together and work together, don't they? Yes. Just already in this meeting, you get different aspects of the Word of God. They're not, they all work together. Psalms 37:21, give another reference. It says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Now, that leads us to a question of debt. Want to talk about stress in the home a little bit more? Debt causes a lot of stress when there is debt. I want to encourage you young people, and you older ones as well, but stay out of debt. I'm not saying there's not ever a place to get a loan, to get a house. I'm not saying that. But we are living in a time, as I mentioned, young people are wanting to start off like mom and dad. You want to start off having what mom and dad have. It doesn't work that way. It took mom and dad a while to get where they're at. And there are too many young couples, when they first get married, they go into debt to get things that they could really live without. And then when those monthly bills come in, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have any debt, but then when those bills come in, it's stressful. And when a man gets stressed about financial things, do you know who bears the brunt of that? His wife. Getting a little bit impatient, a little bit too curt. And it's not her fault, but it's because I'm stressed about financial things. This story has repeated itself time and time again in couple, in marriages. Spare yourself the heartache. Spare yourself the grief. Nothing is sinful. I'm not preaching against credit now. I want to say something else about it. There's nothing sinful about credit cards, folks. But I want to say this. More often than not, the devil has used credit cards to lay a snare for people. And you can say, but it's just financial thing. That doesn't have anything to do with my walk with God. It will. It will, because it affects your mind. It affects you emotionally. Folks, you pay off the bill if you use it for a convenience and pay it off every month. Lord bless you. I have a credit card. That's what I do. Full disclosure here. I pay it off. But I want us to understand that this mentality of, well, I can pay later. There are so many people that pay later has gotten later and later and later, and the debt has grown greater and greater. You can save your marriages. This is number one problem. You can save it a lot of heartache and a lot of stresses by not doing that. So I just say, as Paul, consider what I say this morning on that line. Can someone tell me this morning what the number one white-collar crime is in the United States? What is it? That's right up there. Tax evasion is the number one white-collar crime. To save time again, Matthew 22, you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things of God unto God." In Romans, in the 13th chapter, and folks, on this subject right here, there are numerous scriptures that teach on this. I'm not just having to work the scriptures this morning. There are numerous scriptures that back up these points that we're bringing out. Over in the Romans, and I'll just read a couple of those verses. Romans, in the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 6. He says here, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers." And I want you to understand, you study the scripture, and God's ministers here, he's talking about the magistrates, he's talking about kings, those in authority over us in government. That's who he's referring to. He's not talking about ministers up here behind the pulpit. He said, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Folks, it is an instruction of the Scripture for a child of God wanting to make heaven to pay their taxes. I had a man one time say, "Well, God hasn't given me a conviction about it." You don't need a conviction about it. You don't need a conviction. It's in the Word of God. I don't have to go to the store and see something I want and pray and say, "I don't have a conviction against stealing, so I think I can do it," until God tells me I shouldn't. He already did tell me in the Word of God. Folks, there are too many people that cut corners. Now, you can do all that the law gives you to do. Don't misunderstand me. Do what the law gives you to do. The law gives you a tax break. By all means, take it. But those of you that are self-employed know what I'm talking about. Do you know how easy it would be not to report some income? Do you know how easy it is to just, "Well, this is, won't put that in there"? It's number one crime in the United States. Think there'll be a spiritual problem in not paying taxes? All of them that are owed? There is. So let's be sure we're measured up here, folks. We're coming up to the end of the year. And if there have been places that you have failed, you can make it right. It's called restitution. But folks, this is what the Bible teaches. There's too many people that there is a reproach on their name personally and on the name of the work of God because of areas just like this. I say, Lord, bless and help us in this line. I'd like to conclude touching on one other subject. There is also an Old Testament doctrine. We talk about tithing. It has to do with money as well. Tithing. That was a giving of 10%, and even if you study the subject of tithing, you will find even in the Old Testament, it was not a black and white issue that people have even made it today. If a man only had 9 cows, he didn't give one of them. When he had 10 cows, he gave the 10th one to the Lord. In other words, there were exceptions, and the Lord worked with those that were impoverished. You study the subject out, which is a big, big subject in and of itself. But I want us to understand the principle of tithing was taught in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, you will find that the old law in its entirety was done away with. It was done away with. Many, many scriptures point this out, and we have something better today in the New Testament, something better. But that has not taken away from the principles that were laid down in the Old Testament. Now over, and let's just turn and read in 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, I used to wonder about that scripture, and I thought, well, Lord, shouldn't we give of necessity? In other words, when you see a need, shouldn't we give because of that? I read a little bit of history on this passage, and they said that in the temple, in the Old Testament, in the temple there were 2 boxes. In one box, people would come up and they would put what they had to give because of tithe. They would give what they had to give, and there was a second box that they gave of their love to God. And when he said here, give not grudgingly, you know what we give grudgingly is what we have to give, isn't it? I have to give this. The new principle doctrine is, don't give because you have to give it, but you give of a cheerful heart. You give of your love to the Lord. Now folks, we need to, as with giving, as with laying aside, it is important that we be disciplined in our giving as well. And there are some say, well, when the Lord shows me that I need to give, then I will give. Folks, He has shown us this morning. He teaches us many places to give and support. In that, the place where that starts, and I haven't been talking to Brother Michael either. The place that giving starts, folks, is at home. The place where giving starts, folks, is to be sure that those that are ministering the bread of life to you Sunday after Sunday is that they are well provided for. That's where it starts. How do you think it would be? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can take those right around us for granted. We can take it for granted, and we're here looking over at a mission work somewhere, someone over here, when the pastor's wife needs shoes. Yes, that's right. We start at home. And then from that place, it expands out. And folks, it's not just to the ministry. You know, a while back I realized everywhere I go to service, someone's having to pay the electric bill. And there are other places that I have burns that I do my personal giving. But I thought, someone's having to keep this place lit. Who's supposed to do that? We are. We are. The responsibility falls on all of us to pay to meet the needs of the grounds. But it goes beyond that then, to the poor, to people you see in need. God has given to us that we turn around and give back to others. That means our giving is not just all done in the offering box. You understand what I'm saying? Our giving is giving back to God that, Lord, I love you, and that's why I'm doing this. A lot of ground that we've covered here this morning. Like I said, we could spend a whole session, if you will, on each of those areas. But I trust the Lord will bless you this morning. The Lord wants us to be good stewards. And if you will be a good steward, you will find the blessings of life as God blesses you. Just the beautiful day we had, Brother Leslie was thanking the Lord for the sun, the weather. Do you know you can enjoy it a whole lot more? You can enjoy it a whole lot more when you don't have all of these other stresses and burdens. And that doesn't mean, folks, when things get tight, see, there are stresses that come with it, aren't there? But if you'll be a faithful steward in your marriage and within the responsibility that God has given, you will find the blessings of God richer. You will find that things will just go easier for you in life. So I trust the Lord bless you. I appreciate your attention this morning.